going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Let's get back to more Draft Night on the Score. Here's Mark Grody and Anthony Herron.
All right. Here,
throws the deep ball down there. Caught, Burden. Touchdown.
All right. We are at 59 overall in the second round of the draft. Baltimore is on the clock. The Bears are at 62. That is when their next pick will occur. So the Bears are three selections away from making their third selection in the second round. The Bears have taken wide receiver Luther Burden out of Missouri just a short while ago with their second round pick. They take Ozzie Trapio, the big, tall, and I mean big, 6'8", Ozzie Trapio out of BCU. I can't quite call it at this point, Anthony, in terms of what they plan for him, just because of his experience at right tackle. Is he a swing guy? Is he going to compete with Braxton Jones? Is he better than Karan Amagaji? I can't call it right now. What are you feeling?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely tough to say. He's not a prospect who was evaluated of that esteem, of that acclaim, as far as being someone who, you know, would come in and be a first round pick, or be someone to, you know, come in and be a day one upgrade without any, you know, without any doubt about it. But he is a player who gives you that versatility because he's played both sides. And we've already talked about the hole that feels like it's there right now for health, if nothing else, at left tackle.
I'm being told that we have wide receiver Luther Burden from Missouri, the newest Chicago Bears wide receiver.
We saw your Instagram post and your tweets. What were your thoughts after going undrafted last night? How are you feeling after having that wait into tonight?
I mean, I was unaware, I guess, but you know, I'm super excited to be a part of the Chicago Bears.
Hey, Luther, welcome to Chicago. First question is, what did you do last night? Did you go do a workout over there in the facility?
Yeah, I went to the facility to work out.
What was your mindset in that moment?
Pretty much, you know, I'm going to get some work where everybody celebrating, and I'm going to do the same thing tonight.
When you look at the two seasons, 23 and 24, how do you account for the dip in production this last season versus obviously what was a really standout year the year before?
I would just say the opportunities given. There was a lot more opportunities, you know, the year before, my sophomore year. And I just said the opportunities I was given.
Hey, Luther, congratulations. How much do you know about Caleb Williams, and has he reached out to you at all?
I haven't checked my phone really, but I know a lot about him. You know, me and him were supposed to be teammates before, so the world works in mysterious ways. So I'm excited to finally unite with him and get to work.
Pat Finley?
How were you guys supposed to be teammates?
At Oklahoma.
What did you know about him back then? And have you kept an eye on him in the years since?
Yeah, I definitely, you know, try to, or not keep in touch, but, like, you know, I definitely follow him. And we follow each other, you know, on social media and stuff. And, I mean, I watch a lot of his, you know, games because, I mean, he's, you know, his number one pick. And, I mean, he's been nice since, you know, I've known him. So, I'm definitely a big fan of him and excited to get to work with him.
Lou, you spent 3 years in high school at Ritter Prep and then you transferred to East Saint. What was that transition like, and what was the reason for the move?
Transition was amazing. Being a part of Eastside, you know, was great, and it was a great opportunity, you know, to showcase my skills against, you know, more better competition. And the reason I went because so I go to school early, so I can go to college in the spring.
Hey, Luther, what did Ben Johnson tell you about how they plan to use you offensively?
I haven't really met with them, so this is kind of a new journey.
One of their scouts was just talking to us about your experience playing inside and outside. How do you view yourself in terms of your strength and how you could be effective in the NFL?
I'm pretty much surrounded by some great teams already, so I'll be able to, you know, take some attention off them, you know, when they get doubled or whatever. So, you know, I feel like I fit perfect in their offense.
What was the extent of your pre-draft communication and contact with the Bears?
Can you say it again?
What was the extent of the contact you had with the Bears during the pre-draft process?
I didn't really talk to them a lot.
Does it surprise you then tonight that that was where the call came from?
Yes, Brian.
Along with that, their director of college scouting was talking about pairing you up with Antoine Randall-L and kind of refining your abilities as a route runner. Where do you see room for growth in your route running?
I can see growth everywhere. You know, got a lot of work to do. You know, head to the next level with great guys who, you know, made them – for himself is, you know, top guys in the league, so be better every day.
That is Bears' second-round pick, wide receiver Luther Bird in the third out of Missouri. Again, 6 feet tall, 206 pounds, 4'4", 140, a three-year starter, 61 catches, 676 yards last year, and six touchdowns. He did not sound excited. What was, you know, going on there?
I mean, you know, you think about it, just how this entire process plays out over months and months, and now you finally get to this point where you know you've been selected. Some disappointment last night, expecting to go in the first round, but then just kind of having the context of whatever disappointment he may have had yesterday evening, where part of the reason the media was asking about going to get a workout in, it's probably just working out a little frustration. Mm. You know, just feeling like, man, I'm one of the best guys in this draft cycle. I didn't go where I thought I should have gone. Let me go get, you know, just burn off some calories, burn off a little bit of frustration. So now that he's finally been selected, yeah, I mean, it could be this jubilant moment, but also he does seem to be a guy with a degree of determination about it. But
I hope that's what it is. I hope he's got a chip on his shoulder. Like, yeah. I don't want him to not be happy about the situation that he is in.
Well, it's just such a chaotic time, yeah. Mentally and emotionally, okay. Man, all this stuff that's swirling around.
Yeah.
I mean, I went from, and you know, I'm not going to make this whole thing about me, but like a few days before the draft, back in 2001, mm-hmm. I got a call, you know, teams are calling, checking, you know, contact information and all this stuff. I went from the New York Giants called and said, hey, we're looking at you day one. Back then, day one meant top three picks. I was an undrafted free agent. And so that's just like me in, you know, never thought of as being a first round pick or whatever, but that roller coaster. So I can just relate to what this weekend, what these few days end up symbolizing for the guys. Your whole life is built up to these few hours that you're experiencing with all this different stuff you're hearing. It's a lot.
Yeah, no, I get you. And it's, you know, it's coming from Missouri where the media probably was not asking him for immediate Zoom conversations. And so I would imagine,
like, he might have just got done crying in his mother's shoulder 3 minutes ago before he's on this Zoom with everybody.
It's a great point. The We are at number 59 here. Baltimore, ladies and gentlemen, Mike Green is off the board. The edge rusher out of Marshall, who had 17 sacks last year, a pair of sexual assault allegations in his life, one in high school, one in college. So there were issues. 6'3", 251. It is interesting. I mean, because we had thought about him as a possibility of for one of the Bears, especially that position, the edge rusher, where I just can't believe that the Bears think that they're done as far as that is concerned. I mean, really. I mean, Dio Dangbo has never shown that he's going to get to the quarterback a ton. You know, Montez Sweat obviously had a poor year last year. And then the year before that was kind of almost an outlier season, right, in terms of actually getting – like, I'm not trying to, like, say all of a sudden say Montez Sweat. The Montez Sweat effect is real, but it just doesn't feel like you have – still don't have that ferocious pass rusher necessarily, unless this, you know, Dennis Allen and the inside pressure, he thinks he can do the trick.
And that's where – you know, James Pierce ended up coming off the board later in the first round yesterday out of Tennessee. And, you know, he had a, you know, a few of his own sort of, I guess, maturity concerns, and the Falcons ended up going to get him. But he was a guy who thought maybe, there was a lot of conversation, maybe he could slip into round two. And I thought that would have been intriguing for the Bears to maybe have someone like that still available when they picked. But you're 100% right. They can use continued and additional defensive line depth and pass rush help. Now, again, we're in April. They're not going to be able to address every concern and fully fortify the roster here during this draft weekend. Oh, your guy just went gross. Your guy just came off the board.
Harvey UCF ends up with the Broncos in the second round at number 60 overall. Shout out to my guy, Dan Wiederer, from the Take the North podcast. He sold me on RJ Harvey. Come on out of there, Harvey. Do you know what that reference is that I keep doing?
Why does it sound familiar?
Well, because it's from The Honeymooners. It was a hilarious episode where Jackie Gleason thought that that his wife, what was it? What was his wife's name on the show? But he thought that he was, that she was
Alice.
He thought that Alice was cheating on him, and it turned out to be a little kid that was in the room, and he's yelling, "Come on out of there, Harvey!" And this little kid comes out wiping his eyes. He's like, "Oh my goodness gracious!" So I hear the name Harvey, and I instantly go Honeymooners. But yeah, RJ Harvey, the running back. Running backs is Caleb Johnson like the only one left on the board? Caleb Johnson
there's a lot of running backs still available.
Well, I mean, like, I'm talking about the big boys. I mean,
who would have been considered in this space?
Yeah, the
in
guys
this
that
area
we've been
the
guys that we've been constantly talking about. Ashton Gentry off the board. Travion Henderson off the board. Quinshon Judkins off the board. RJ Harvey off the board. Caleb Johnson has not been taken, right?
Right. Caleb Johnson is still available. So just depending on, you know, how far down the list you want to go with this thing, like, I'd be surprised if Cam Scataboo came off the board in round number two, but you never know. Dylan Sampson was a huge part of the reason that Tennessee had so much success last year, talented back in his own right. But yes, Caleb Johnson from the University of Iowa, still available, still on the board right now. And this is where, because Alex Kuhn has been talking to me about Caleb Johnson coming off the board in the second round of the Bears
for months.
Yeah. I mean, I think virtually as soon as the season ended, Alex Kuhn started talking to me about Caleb Johnson in the second round to the Bears. Full disclosure, my initial reaction was, second round, like it could be a little bit rich for Caleb Johnson.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, day two, but I mean, second or third was kind of my initial reaction. But Caleb Johnson will very likely go soon. I mean, you know, whether it's round two, round three, I mean, he's certainly between the production that he had, big, statuesque, talented running back. So the Bears, if he's still there when they're on the clock, running back is certainly a position that we've all discussed. But to your point, they ain't done a thing on defense yet. And it's not like their defense is fully solidified and fortified everywhere. So is there a safety the Bears could value in that slot when they're back on the clock at 62? We are just a pick away from that. And the pick is in, apparently, for the Washington Commanders.
They
so the Bears are now on the clock. So we'll be able to tell you in just a few moments here who the Bears select. What positions would you say? I would say safety is certainly a spot worth addressing.
Yeah.
Running back is obviously a spot worth addressing. And defensive line, preferably the edge. They've done a lot on the interior of the D-line, it feels like. But some sort of a pass rusher, maybe another edge on defense, is certainly a position I think should value too.
Yep. So, yes, the Trey Amos, the cornerback, goes to the Washington Commanders 61 overall. That is official now, and they are now saying the Bears pick is in. So the Bears have been, I guess I give them credit for this, they have been unpredictable so far. I don't think anybody is nailing these picks so far, except for, of course, Molly and Haw, who both picked Colston Loveland. I don't know. Who did you have? Did you do a mock draft, or did you make a prediction for the Bears at 10?
I did a mock draft. Did I do a mock draft with you? I think I did a mock draft with you like a week ago or something like that.
I took Mason Graham.
Who did for the Bears? I didn't think Mason Graham was going to fall. I went Kelvin Banks.
You did go Kelvin Banks, and you were pretty damn close. I don't know if we'll ever find out, but I do have a hunch, let's just say.
I'm rather curious.
That Kelvin Banks probably is who they had on their mind. It seems like they're until they took Ozzie Trapillo out of Boston College, their first round dreams of getting the tackle were not going to happen here. So looking up here, I'm just looking at Mel's best available. Another wide receiver, Jalen Noel, but they're not going to do that, having just taken Luther Burden out of Missouri. Ought to be interesting. It's got to be defense here, right? The safety situation is interesting. Kevin Byard still with the Bears, but we're all worried about Jaquan Brisker. Jaquan Brisker appears to be healthy from everything he said, and the Bears coaching staff has said he should be there right from the start when the OTAs and the veteran minicamp and on a training camp, he should be available. But unfortunately, he is somebody that you're going to have to keep an eye on.
So we got some more Brad Biggs breaking news. He's put it out, and since we don't have the live audio feed at the moment, we can go ahead and let it be known.
Spoiler alert.
Yep, spoiler alert. You've been warned. Brad Biggs, our guy, he has reported that the Bears in the second round have selected Shamar Turner, defensive tackle from Texas A&M. Turner listed at 6'3", 290 pounds, and as much depth and talent as they had on that D-line at Texas A&M, the actual production that they had up front was fairly inconsistent. But you know, Turner is one of the guys who was a high-level recruit when he came out, and you see the film, you see the movement skills, flashes, the playmaking ability that's there as well. And so we were just talking about the defensive front as a spot. Now, I was certainly wondering, would they end up valuing defensive end, maybe the edge a bit more? But if you have a guy that you think suits this slot, you don't want to reach for someone who you don't think is necessarily a value here. So they get another interior defensive lineman. And like we were talking about, your mock draft, you said, hey, if Mason Graham is there, you got to snatch him up. 100% agree with that. So they didn't get that last night. Mason Graham came off the board in the top five. But Shamar Turner, another interior defensive lineman.
Yep, it is very interesting. I mean, it says something about – I mean, it kind of sucks because this is like a redrafting almost, it feels like, because of Zach Pickens, who was not effective last year. I feel like Jervon Dexter – I mean, I don't know what Dennis Allen thinks about Jervon Dexter, so that could say something. Or just – it's good to stack up on defensive linemen to keep that rotation going. It's not necessarily an indictment on anybody except maybe Zach Pickens. Shamar Stewart, 6'5", 267. Again, out of Texas A&M. He is a Chicago Bear. He is the Bears' third second-round pick. I like the idea of the player. He was a one-year starter at Texas A&M. Lined up primarily as an edge rusher.
Well, no, Turner. There was two different Shamars at A&M. Shamar Turner is the guy the Bears just ended up picking up. Man. So he's the guy.
I got the wrong guy.
Different Shamar from A&M. Yeah, you would think. There's multiple Shamars that started next to each other at Texas A&M. But Shamar Turner, the guy the Bears just selected.
Not Stewart.
Yeah, the other one. Now, Shamar Stewart, he was a guy who folks could not figure out why he wasn't more productive throughout his career at Texas A&M because of the size, the length, the movement ability, but just wasn't a guy that made a lot of plays. I think it was less than five. I think it was 4.5 sacks throughout his time there with A&M, and went to the combine, lit it up there, so still came off the board in round one. But you don't necessarily see a huge uptick in sack and tackle for loss numbers if you weren't really about that in college. Sometimes there's some explainable reasons schematically for why a guy didn't make that many plays. But the other Shamar was the one who went last night, Shamar Turner of Texas A&M, the selection by the Chicago Bears.
I mean, again, I love the position idea. We finally got a position right here right. In anticipating. I mean, at some point in time, it was time for the Bears to take somebody on defense. So we will learn more about him when we come back. Are we also going to see Mr. Emma? We will bring in Chris Emma from Hallis Hall. So he'll have all sorts of information on Shamar Turner, Ozzie Trapillo, the Boston College tackle that the Bears have taken, and the wide receiver Luther Burden out of Missouri. It's all coming up with Anthony Herron. I'm Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Let's get back to more Draft Night on The Score. Here's Mark Grody and Anthony Herron.
I got the right Shamar up now. In the second, with the Bears' third second-round pick.
The other Shamar.
I mean, I think it's a semi-understandable mistake. Shamar Turner, the defensive tackle for the Chicago Bears, 6'3", 290 pounds. So the Bears do get a defensive tackle. And a three-year starter at Texas A&M, Turner played a three-technique role as a senior and head coach Mike Elko's four-man front. And we'll talk more about him and some of the details. The Bears also in this second round have taken Ozzie Trapillo, the big, tall offensive lineman. Is he a right tackle? Is he left tackle out of Boston College? And with the Bears' first of three second-rounders today, they take with the wide receiver Luther Burden out of Missouri. And just really quick to get people caught up on what the Bears did and why they ended up with three second-round picks. The Bears traded numbers 41, 72, and 240 to the Buffalo Bills for 56, 62, and 109, which gave the Bears that extra second-round pick. They still have a fourth-round pick at 109 overall. They have a fifth-round pick, which is 148 overall, and they are now down to one seventh-round pick at 233. We now, Big Ant, get to go out to Hallis Hall, Bears headquarters. That's where the war room is, and that's where we find the Score's Chris Emma. Emma, what's up, man? What do you think about everything?
I've been trying to get in that draft room. They're not letting me in. Tarpey's keeping me out of there. I'm stuck here in the media room, so I don't get the full scoop for you. But look, they've had a good night so far. They've got three second-round picks down, obviously traded out of the third. They've added some impact players. They've added starters. Yeah, that's what you hope when you're picking, obviously, at the top of the draft and number 10 overall, and then three picks in the second. You want impact guys across the board, and they've done that tonight. You know, obviously Colson Loveland last night, but then you bring in Luther Burden, who they see as just a playmaker. This is a guy, talk with Brett Gackley, their director of college scouting, said it's an example of a guy who's just that high up on the board where you can't pass it up. You don't worry about how many receivers do we have? How many? We only have one ball for them. You plug them in. You make it work. Like, this is a guy who's going to be an impact player for this team. You get Trapillo, the tackle out of Boston College, who's I'm curious whether he slides on the left or right side. And we had the same conversation about Darnell Wright, of course, if he could slide over to left tackle now. Fascinating opportunity there. And then Shamar Turner now. You get your defensive tackle. You had a position of need there. Add some depth to the interior defensive line. And, you know, Grady Jarrett's a player who I think is going to have a significant impact for this team next season. But you want some youth there. You want some good young talent to mix into that position. And now you got it.
And to be able to see the way that the Bears are starting to stockpile their picks and kind of stack up the draft up to this point, I think we've got it, especially, you know, last night, but then through the first couple of picks here, getting the sense that, yes, Ben Johnson obviously has a very deep influence on the direction that the Bears have been taking things. And do you get the sense that the value of the individual players that they've been able to select in those spots kind of suits where they've been at? Because it probably, from a positional perspective, hasn't gone in the exact order that many of us might have predicted.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Big Ant, you know, you're drafting the best player on your board. You're not stretching down the board because this position makes more sense than that spot. Luther Burden's a perfect example. I mean, you got two really darn good receivers in DJ Moore along with Rome Badunze, but Luther Burden was so high up there, they had significant grades. I'm sure they were probably top 20 grades on him, and you can't pass that up. He's too good of a player to miss out on. They see him as a guy who can play inside and outside, so he's not redundant to Rome Badunze. They're going to be able to play three three receiver sets now with three really talented, dynamic players. And then you mentioned it as well, Ben Johnson's vision for this team. You saw that clearly last night with Colston Loveland. And I think there was a lot of surprises to why was he the guy over Tyler Warren? Why was he with the tight end of the fit over some other position? It's clearly an example of Ben Johnson sees a significant role ahead for Colston Loveland, and they really believe in this kid. So, look, Ryan Poles, when he brought in Ben Johnson, talked about the collaboration they would have in the scouting process. And I think that's a significant addition for Ryan Poles to have the guidance of Ben Johnson, his scheme, in addition to the defensive side with Dennis Allen. And what do you want? What do you need on your sides of the ball? Let's make this work. Let's bring in talent. And that's what they've done.
We listened to part, Emma, of the Luther Burden press conference. What did you make of that? Because they didn't sound like excited. Like, do you think he was just mad that he wasn't a first rounder? Like, what was your impression of that?
I don't know, because I've never talked to him before. I don't know if that's out of the norm for him. I'm curious to talk with some people down in Missouri and find out kind of what his makeup's like. The obvious takeaway, just speculating, is that he's a little ticked off. And he mentioned it when he was asked about falling out of the first round. I think he's expected to be taken last night, and he thought he'd be in an NFL facility today, and he was sitting there at Missouri's facility waiting for his name called this evening. I'm sure he's a little ticked off. A lot of these guys who are taken tonight feel that same way. So, if he comes into Hallis Hall with a chip on his shoulder and goes flying around
that's
a rookie
fine.
Minicamp, then you'll get a sense of how he's really feeling.
Amen.
To have a player like that, we played the sound where he was essentially telling you guys he really hadn't heard from the Bears, didn't take a top 30 visit. So he was as surprised as anyone when he came off the board to Chicago. What does that indicate to you about the Bears and perhaps the level of surprise that they had? Because it seems like maybe they weren't even seeing themselves in a position to be able to target Luther Burden when they came back on the clock.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's just a clear-cut example of this guy is so far above the rest of the pack, we can't pass on him. And I love the way that Brett Ackley, their director of college scouting, explained it, talking about how Ben Johnson wants to play a multiple, unpredictable offense. And you've done that so far. Your first two picks of this draft were a second tight end alongside Cole Kmet, and now a third receiver alongside DJ Moore and Roma Dunze. And you might say, well, man, they could have addressed other positions and had other priorities to move forward, but you're adding talent across the board. And Ben Johnson's got so many weapons now. I mean, just in the span of 24-plus hours, this offense has revamped itself entirely. And you've got a lot of different ways you can maximize Ben Johnson's scheme and really the talent around him. This is going to make everybody else within this offense better. It's deeper across the board, and you're just beginning now. You still got day three to go through with the rest of this draft and identify some guys, undrafted free agents, who can maybe come in and play a role as well. But this has been a really productive first four picks for the Bears.
The Bears, you know, let's talk more about Ozzie Trapio, who was the Bears' number 56 overall, their second rounder, 6'8", 316 yards. You know, he locked down the right tackle spot at Boston College. What do you think the Bears have in mind for Ozzie Trapio?
Yeah, he's played both sides of Boston College, left tackle and right tackle. I think he probably projects more as a right tackle in the NFL. We'll see once he gets into the building. There's been conversation and speculation about Darnell Wright. Will he move over from right tackle to left tackle now in his third season? That's a potential opening now if Trapillo is the guy who comes on in and steps into the right tackle spot. That might be the way this works out now for the Bears. And we'll see what happens with Braxton Jones, obviously coming off the ankle procedure. The hope is he could be ready for training camp. We'll see how that one plays out as you get closer to July. But clearly they've got depth now. And throwing Krom Abiyagi as well, who obviously had a difficult rookie season, they still believe in this kid. He's going to be competing in that mix as well. But I think there is certainly competition to be had at these tackle positions.
Since we really don't know what's going on health-wise with Braxton Jones, I mean, what is your sense then if, you know, it's hard to predict to your point that Ozzie Trapio would be someone who the Bears would plan on just plugging and playing at left tackle. So it does feel like a position that a lot of us kind of thought the Bears would look to address early in the draft and have a potential starter at left tackle hasn't happened yet. We're only in April, but what do you take away from where the Bears are currently situated on the roster at that key spot?
Yeah, I think there's openings and curiosity. I think this new staff, and especially new O-line coach Dan Rauscher, I think they really want to get these guys on the practice field and truly get a sense of how this could work out, because they're starting fresh now with this coaching staff. The old staff's gone. Chris Morgan was a longtime O-line coach for this staff under Matt Eberflus. He's gone. It's a new coach in charge who wants to see how everything works out. I think it's truly open-ended at this point. And obviously, Darnold Wright's the key cog of this. That's the first decision to be had. Does he stay at right tackle? Does he shift over to the left side? After that, you're wondering about Braxton Jones' health. This team still clearly believes in Braxton Jones. I think they're perfectly comfortable if he's starting on left on the left side again or if he moves over to the right side. But you've got options now. Tripillo and then obviously Kron Amigaji as well. Like I said, that's somebody I think they would love to see with a full offseason under his belt and good health to see what you really have in him and how he can develop now with this new staff. So I think there's truly a curiosity for this entire offensive line. That you know who the interior guys are starting now. That's been clear through this offseason, but a lot of young guys coming up on the interior, and you got a lot of openings on the tackle spots and some jobs to be had.
Are you at all surprised that they haven't really done anything beyond Dio Dangbo to address the edge position?
Yeah, to some degree. They also haven't taken a running back. I thought they were going to have a running back by this point tonight as well. So, strange things happen in the draft. I mean, look, if you're drafting purely off positional needs, you have your running back by now, you have your edge rusher probably three drafts ago. Like, it's just the way this works out. And you see how the board falls. Ryan Poles truly believes and covets in that best player available spot, and they're not going to press for positional needs because of that. So I think you might see an edge rusher later on this draft, but who knows at this point? Like I said, you might see some more randomness and some more curiosity to come.
I don't think I've called anything. Well, we actually were kind of on to the defense, really, because it came to, and I think Big Ann said it first, they have to take a defensive player at some point in time. Yeah. But it's been, the whole thing has been very unpredictable. I don't think many people thought about Colston Loveland. I certainly didn't think Emma. Was there a buzz in the media room when they took what wide receiver in the, I mean, we could all make a case for it, but I was surprised by that. Weren't you?
I mean, we got a few Mizzou grads in the room. I think there was some excitement from that level, but look, it's exciting. Yeah, we've talked for so many years, just going back to changing up the last couple of years the lack of receiving talent in Chicago. We just haven't seen that, where receivers go to die, as Musa Muhammad famously said. Like,
how dare you?
Now you're talking about, oh man, they took Luther Burden. Now where's he going to fit in this mix? Like, you got a ton of talent, you got depth, and you got a head coach who's proven he can move the ball around. Like, don't worry about just having one ball for three receivers and two tight ends and whatever else. Like, Ben Johnson's going to figure this out. His fingerprints are all over this draft and all over this offseason so far. Like I said, the collaboration point between Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson has been really encouraging to see. I think when Ben Johnson came in, there was this kind of concern, for lack of a better term, of a power play of, you know, is Ben Johnson going to be overstepping his bounds on personnel or whatever? Is Ryan Poles comfortable? To Ryan Poles' credit, he's a very open-minded, welcoming, genuinely curious guy who's excited about having somebody else's influence next to him and following that vision. Like, and that goes for his entire scouting brass. Ian Cunningham, Trey Koziol, everybody else in the draft room, they are excited to build this team out for what Ben Johnson, obviously Denon Salen as well, what they see fitting for their sides of the ball. This roster has reshaped the way that they would like, and they believe it's setting themselves up for contention this year.
Everything they did with the offensive line through free agency and now in the draft so far, with a highly regarded tight end, highly regarded wide receiver. Much of this, of course, points back to Caleb Williams. And I'm wondering what have been, as you've gotten to watch, be around, and interact with Ben Johnson, just kind of see here early in his time leading the Bears, what his goals are moving forward with this thing. So how do you interpret what this means as it relates to Caleb and to the pieces that they're now surrounding him with?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, when Ben Johnson came in, one of the first things he said was he's building this offense from the ground up. He's not fitting Caleb Williams or anybody else into his Lions offense. And we've seen that before, the Matt Nagy thing with Mitch Trubisky. Just, it wasn't comfortable for anybody. Ben Johnson understands that the best way to maximize personnel is by catering his scheme toward them. But he has also a vision and a clarity of what he wants across the board on his depth chart. And you've seen them really address that. You've got veterans now on the offensive line. You've got a reshaped unit with three different starters in the interior now. You got different playmakers across the board. Now two different tight ends with Loveland joining Komet. You're going to play a lot more 12 personnel, which was Ben Johnson's top priority in Detroit. But you can also now spread the field with 11 personnel. You got three receiver sets you can run with Luther Burden joining Rome Odunze and DJ Moore. I think you're going to get another running back to the mix. You're going to have some depth at that position as well. Ben Johnson's got a ton of different players he can utilize, not to mention some gadgets. Devin Duvernay entering the mix. Zacchaeus as well. He's got so many different ways he can make this offense work and function to his liking. And he's just building this offense from scratch right now. Like they're just starting up with the install and getting guys on the field and comfortable. Really, now you got the pieces in place, and now you can start cooking a little bit. So I am sure Ben Johnson is absolutely thrilled. We'll hear from him tomorrow after they wrap up with round seven. But I think he's going to have a big old smile on his face and talking about how excited he is for what's to come.
Last thing here, we literally had two different pronunciations given to us for Ozzie. Is it Trapillo or Trapillo?
I didn't want to correct you, buddy, but it's a pillow.
Okay. All right. Wait.
Wait, huh?
What?
Trapillo.
Oh, you said it's a pillow. Jesus. Now we correct you.
Just radio magic, right? Chris,
hey,
let's go Trapillo.
Chris, look at me. You and I know each other well enough. If I mess up a name, you know that pisses me off when I do that. You are allowed to correct me. So, again, it's Ozzie Trapillo. Yes?
Yes, okay. You're in the meeting room tomorrow. I will see you tomorrow, my friend, and I will correct you the first thing when you walk in the door.
I'm looking forward to getting out there, man. Was the grub good out there tonight?
It was barbecue night here tonight.
Oh, so
man.
Nice.
You missed out.
They'll save the good stuff for you tomorrow, I promise.
All right, my brother. That is Chris Emma from Hallis Hall.
People like him.
Some people like Chris Emma. I've heard that. Thanks,
some
buddy.
Some people like Chris Emma.
There it is. Yes.
I'll see you tomorrow, buddy. Take care, man. Shout out to the people that are all working on this show today. You, Anthony Heron. You, Lieutenant Weinberg. Adam Studzinski doing a great job. These are not easy shows to produce. Tyler Buterbaugh, he is a beaut as usual, doing a great job running the board. We got Sean Sears cutting up stuff. He is the man responsible for bringing us lots of the audio that you hear. So he is crushing it. A special shout out too over the last couple of days, and I don't think that we're twitching tonight, but Connor O'Donnell, my God, that guy has just been crushing stuff with the YouTube videos and the Twitch stream and all of that. So big appreciation to him and Ryan Porth and Mitch Rosen. Also, I want you to know, too, the Scores live NFL draft coverage continues after us with Rami Makhlouf. I see you, Rami Makhlouf, from 9 to midnight. Has he got the Cubs hat on? You rocking the Cubs hat? There you go. He's got the Cubs win. He'll be on from 9 to midnight. Rami will be taking your calls and bringing you sound from Hallis Hall as night 2 wraps up. I know some of you guys have been hungry to get on the phone line, so keep the number in mind. 312-644-6767. Rami will take your calls later. That's all right here on your draft headquarters, 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. Along with Big Ant, I'm Mark Grody on The Score. All right, check this out. Got a great nugget here from Judson Richards, who was a big part of our draft coverage. Shout out to Judson Richards. He sent me this about an hour ago. I'm just checking it out now. There's a lot of things going on here. I can't possibly check everything simultaneously, but this is a really good note from Judson Richards again. A first for the Bears. This is the first time in the common draft era, which was 1967, that the Bears selected two pass catchers with their first two picks.
Oof.
That says everything. That says everything about this organization. It really does. And the more I think about it, the fact that I was semi-surprised that the Bears took a wide receiver with their first second-round pick is crazy. Like the idea that...
It's a very un-Bears thing to do.
Well, it's like the idea that I would sit here, or anybody who's ever followed the Bears and rooted for the Bears would sit there and say, yeah, we're good at wide receiver. We're good. We got enough weapons. We're good. We got Rome. We got DJ. We got Cole Kmet. We've got Colston. We're fine. What could go wrong with the offense? So bring in Ben Johnson, who clearly has, and I think Emma put it well, that we could play the game of Does Ben Johnson have the power, or we play the game of, is Ryan Poles just being a very good general manager and allowing his head coach to really have a voice in the room?
And shout out to Stubbs, by the way, for playing that song, Loveland. That was the song my wife and I entered to in our wedding reception.
Oh, that's adorable.
I don't think there's another song I've ever heard that is called Loveland. Well, you know, it's Loveland. It's two words, but Bears drafted Colston Loveland last night. So that immediately popped into my head. Like, oh, they got the guy, and that's our song, Loveland. Loveland. Charles Wright and the Watts 103rd Street Soul Band.
Okay.
Rhythm band.
All right. But he wouldn't play Limp Bizkit for me. He's like, no, it's not going to happen.
Well, it's got no real, you know, sentimental or emotional
oh, no.
or Bears connection
it's
for
no,
you.
No, it does. Yeah? It does, actually. It's anger. It's anger towards Clay Matthews. That's the only reason I wanted. Apparently, Stubbs likes Clay Matthews, liked what Clay Matthews said, and didn't want me to play a nasty song that would be ripping on Clay Matthews. That's
Limp
just
Bizkit.
Fine.
Limp
yeah.
Bizkit, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get Naked? Which one was it?
I wanted to play, what is the name of
it?
Break Stuff?
Yeah, Break Stuff. That's it.
Okay. Try to play Break Stuff.
Yeah. I mean, this is a all good right. song. Like, if you need to let out a little bit
hey,
of rage.
Google.
I mean,
play
I'd be
break
careful
stuff.
Playing that. I mean, there needs to be an edited version. But really, just
yeah,
go to, if you just, it's pretty amazing what's going on, by the way, with Limp Bizkit. Do you realize how popular that band is again?
Really?
Yeah. Like, there's
news
a,
to me.
There's something that's happening in nu metal, specifically, nu metal, where I went to see Def Tones recently because I recently got into them. Like, there's a revival of
nice.
That genre, and I know a lot of people hate Limp Bizkit. I have a guilty pleasure when it comes to Limp Bizkit, and that was smart by you, by the way.
Let's go with the instrumental version.
Yeah. You don't really want to. It's not worth it, man. It's not worth getting fired here tonight, you know, because I think you and I would both go, you know.
I'll just hover over the dump button. It's okay.
Just to satisfy Grody.
Everybody's got a dump button. So we are getting ready to get out of here. But again, the Bears today, so far, have taken the second round wide receiver, Luther Burden out of Missouri. And also in the second round, Ozzie Trapillo.
Trapillo.
Big, tall, 6'8".
Zipillo.
Yeah, Zipillo is Emma's. That was hilarious.
Hate to correct you guys, but the last name is actually pronounced Francois. Like, seriously? That doesn't sound right.
Oh, man. That was just beautiful, beautiful stuff. And then they go get the big defensive tackle. Just one of those days. Jamar Stewart. Stewart. No, not Jamar Stewart. Turner. God! It's really good.
I was going to say it as a joke.
Yeah, I was saying it as a joke.
Okay, good.
Thank God Rami Makhlouf is here to take over. He is going to do that. Big Ant, you know it's always a pleasure working with you. You know that?
A good time, man.
You know that?
I do.
You are the goods, man.
It is always a pleasure working with you.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
I don't need like disingenuous reciprocation anyway, so don't worry about it. Adam Studzinski produced this whole show. Tyler Buterbaugh playing me my Limp Bizkit. Sean Sears rocking the highlights. Connor O'Donnell's been over Zoom and Twitch.
Play his darn theme music.
That's right. Ryan Porth, Mitch Rosen. Who am I missing? Anybody else I got to say thank you to?
Shadur Sanders.
Has he been drafted yet?
I don't think so.
Still hasn't been picked.
Nah.
Let's you and I go out in the hallway and eat some pizza. What do you think about that?
Oh, I'm down.
More draft coverage is coming up right now with Rami Makhlouf. 312-644-6767. See ya.
What's his name? Marshall Sinclair.